Choir, that was fantastic. Thank you. Great. Yeah. A lot of work goes into that, I know, so it's great. I was in the choir last year, and it was amazing how much time it takes to make everything sound that good, so thank you very much. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And actually, let me say great morning. So wonderful to see all of us here today in this service where we can join together as a full congregation, as two congregations. Just over a year ago at Irvine Presbyterian Church, where I also attend, they hired a new pastor. And during the search process, we had an interim pastor. And on that day, the new pastor was being introduced to the congregation for the very first time. And that new pastor was going to give his candidating sermon, where we all have to vote at the end of the service whether we want that person to be our pastor or not. And the church was the absolute fullest I had ever seen it in my 12 years of attending Irvine Presbyterian Church. Really standing room only, even in the entryway. And the interim pastor got out there at the front and greeted us all and said, "Wow! It looks like Easter out there." Of course, it got a nice laugh from the congregation. A new pastor seemed to temporarily resurrect our church, one that seemed half empty for quite some time. So the congregation responded to the new pastor by showing up to church, by laughing, by listening, and by voting. Well, I love Easter Sunday too, much like Christmas, because it brings more people back to church. And I love church. I love growing up and seeing some of my friends and their families who didn't normally make it out to church visit on those days. And for me, it wasn't, why don't you attend on other Sundays? Those are nice too. But it was for me, hey, great, cool that you are celebrating, that they are responding to Easter by joining us all here at our church. It is a special day for them too, and how neat that they made Easter special by visiting us here at church today. So whether or not you are a regular attender, a frequent visitor, or here for the first time, please know that this church is also your home because Easter belongs to us all. You are here with a great church family. You are a great church family. Every time I am here, I am greeted with more smiles than I am when I visit Disneyland. And that's really honest testimony with how friendly you are. And who knew that Formosan Presbyterian Church and Cornerstone Church of Orange County are really, truly the happiest place on earth. And so that being said, thank you so much for having me back. It's great to be with you. The last time that we were together, all of us, we talked about the context of Christmas, if you remember that. The historical reality of Christmas and how Jesus was born a king among kings to be the true king of kings. Today, on this special holiday, we celebrate something really beyond the metaphor of his kingship. We celebrate his lordship. Jesus, our Lord, has conquered death and is risen. And what I like about Easter is that we don't say he rose or he did rise. We say he is risen. What is important about that is that Jesus' resurrection is as real and as immediate and as relevant today and as permanent today as it was the day it happened. Jesus rose from the dead and was risen and walked among his disciples, brothers, and sisters. Jesus is risen. It's a tradition in the church for the leader to say, "He is risen." And the congregation usually responds with, "He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed." It's really a great response because it's now. He is risen indeed right now. It's something very permanent and very lasting. It's not that he rose a long time ago, which he did immediately, but it's permanent now. It's a great response. In thinking about our time together, how people have responded to Christ being risen is really fascinating. Whether or not one is a Christian, you still respond or react in some way, shape, or form to the claim that Jesus is risen from the dead. Some don't believe. That's their response. They're like, I don't believe that. Some are confused by it because they don't understand why he died. Some are amazed. Some are overjoyed. And it's interesting to note how the people around Jesus responded to his resurrection like the first day that it happened. I always like those questions, by the way, when people ask me, if I could travel back in time, what event would I like to witness or be around? Without a doubt, it would be around our Lord, and I would love to see my response to his resurrection. But think about that for you for a moment. How would you feel truly if you could travel back in time and be amongst those weeping his death to find the tomb empty and Jesus of Nazareth now walking amongst you? Initially, you think, hey, he's alive. And you might want to give him a big hug, give him a high five. You did it. But for some reason, I don't think that would be the reaction. Imagine if it happened to one of your friends or family members. Your response would be, well, frankly, one of caution, perhaps awe, maybe a bit scared. How about terrified? Let's look at the scripture that Josh and Susan read this morning. Matthew 28. Listen to how they responded to Jesus' resurrection. Here, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Fear and great joy. Not to mention that it really freaked out the Roman guards to the point that Matthew poetically writes, now it's like they're dead. It's kind of funny, really. So the response from these women just doesn't seem to fit together. Fear, great joy. If you ask people what holiday comes the closest to eliciting fear and great joy, I bet most would say Halloween. Fear of the costumes and great joy with all the candy. I bet Easter would be at the bottom, not the top of the fear list. What are they afraid of? The angel of the Lord commanded them, do not be afraid. But it says they responded with fear and great joy. So let's go to the Gospel of Mark and see how Mark wrote about the same incident. Mark chapter 16. The two Marys and Salome brought spices to anoint the body and arrived at the gravesite to see that the very large stone was already rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So we see in Mark's account, terror and amazement. They flee and were afraid. Can you imagine an Easter celebration today that ends with terror and amazement, fear and trembling, that first initial realization that Jesus had been raised from the dead didn't give birth to an Easter bunny. It was some scary stuff. But why? Why were they afraid? Why didn't they celebrate much like we celebrate today? So consider this. During that time, philosophies and other cult religions were very popular and very many. Pluralism is what the academics call it, or many religions, and it was very common in that area of the country, sort of a secret freedom of religion. As long as you didn't go against Caesar, it was fine to have all these different religions. So I'll offer this. Might a shadow of a doubt have existed in those who knew him? Miracles, feeding, grace, love, and the claim that he was the Son of Man may be enough to make one wonder back then, as C.S. Lewis would write 1,950 years later, is he a Lord? Is he a liar? Or is he a lunatic? It says their response was that they were terrified or afraid. The angel of the Lord says, do not be afraid. In Jesus, we have 100% human and 100% God. The God-man and the ultimate proof is in the resurrection. Like any catastrophic or new event, it is a paradigm shift. Consider recent natural disasters and the destruction they have caused on lives. The rebuilding of those lives and the prospect of that is scary. And here we have a big shift in paradigm. A man rising from the dead, alive. For those that knew him, it makes them wonder, did we really know him and did we really believe in him? And all through the Old Testament beforehand, an encounter with God elicits fear in humans, and God is always responding, do not be afraid. We are afraid because we are not worthy to be in God's presence. Yet because of Christ, we are. But there is more. That fear turns to a realization in Matthew's gospel. The trembling turns to astonishment in Mark's gospel. And in moments like this, we can think of the great proverb, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, later their eyes were open and they saw the Lord. Their fear turned to joy. And with that, they ran to tell everyone they could find that the Lord is risen. Fear is the first step in getting to know our Lord Christ. So now we ask each other, and now we ask ourselves, what is your response to the resurrection? Is it disbelief? If you disbelieve, at least you are honest about it. One of the apostles, one of the 12, many of them, but particularly Thomas, didn't believe, in which Christ responds to him, blessed are those who do not see, but still believe. Perhaps your response is curiosity. Perhaps you are curious to know more about Jesus Christ, and here you are among friends. Perhaps your reaction is one of possibility. Historical possibility. Many I know try to tackle the historicity of the resurrection through rational thinking. It has its place in history, it had its eyewitnesses, it has its empty tomb. Perhaps your reaction this Easter for the first time is the same as the two Marys and Salome, that you are afraid. And to that, I would say, like the proverb, that you are wise. Because the implication of Christ's resurrection on your life is nothing to be taken lightly. It demands a response. And the next response is one of astonishment and great joy for your life. And then I would say great belief. And there we have the full spectrum of responses on Easter. We sing songs like, Lord, I lift your name on high, and worthy is the Lamb. Because our faith cannot and will not keep us silent. We respond with joy, words and songs of joy, because death has been conquered, and our fear of being separated and cut off from the grace of God, is not true. Jesus is risen, and he is our reason for joy and hope in our world. This Easter, all around the world, you will find those who disbelieve and those who believe. Today, we are responding perhaps a bit like those who found the tomb empty. Fear and astonishment. And may that fear make you and make us all wise in Christ. May that fear drive you on this Resurrection Sunday to a great joy of belief in the risen Christ. And like them, may you worship him. For it says that Jesus suddenly met them, and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. But it gets even better than that. And this is the great news. The best part is that we get to share in that resurrection. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. I believe parts of this were read this morning. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, Paul writes, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our proper response is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because we are in the presence of a great and powerful God. One who lived, died for our sins, and rose from the dead. Put on imperishability. Clothe yourself in mortality. Respond this Easter with new life, with continued life. Live in Jesus Christ, and you too will be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord. Your work will never be in vain. Death be to sin. Resurrection and immortality is your reward. It is so powerful, it's scary. It's astonishing, it is amazing to comprehend. And Jesus says to us all, do not be afraid. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. At this time, will the ushers please come forward? We have... worship and giving.